The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. Haven is back for season 5 on Sci-Fi, and what a ride it's going to be. Emily Rose and Lucas Brandt are along to tell us just what we can expect. Plus, summer ends, we lose Will Wheaton, but we pick up the tick. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
The sci-fi series Haven is back for season 5, and there's a lot of questions, considering where things left off last year. I sat down with series stars Lucas Brandt and Emily Rose to talk about this, including the fact that Emily's character Audrey was transformed into an evil alter ego named Mara last year, and fans want to know if that carries into the new run of episodes.
First of all, Emily Rose, who's sitting next to me.
Don't embarrass me, Lucas.
It's incredible this season in... As always, but exceptionally so in the role of Mara. It's a total treat to watch her and get to play with her, except for the fact that she kicks my ass all over town. So that's a new development.
That's a new development. I didn't ever do that as Audrey. I think I did that as Audrey, too.
In less physical ways.
Oh, right. I kicked your butt mentally.
That's right.
Right, right.
My mental bottom.
Your mental bottom.
For Nathan, this is a nightmare.
Emily has embraced the change in her character.
She was a lot of fun to play. You know, Audrey has always been in this very kind of, well, up till the recent seasons, in this kind of melancholy, dire, life sucks for her state, which it did all the time. So to play someone that was and is on top of things, so to speak, and has sheer joy and delight in how she relates to everyone around her was a real pleasure and really fun. Just to, you know, it's always fun when you take these normal relationships and then you mix them up. It just creates a really, really fun environment on set. So it was a blast.
But there has been a few drawbacks.
Mara is a lot of fun, and I definitely, you know, something I never expected would be the case with Haven, but it definitely turned out to be true, is just the ability to play so many different characters. And so her personality is a blast, even though there are definitely moments in this season that she made me really uncomfortable, and I didn't like playing her at some point. For the most part, I do really enjoy being that evil and bad, so I don't know what that says about me.
Mm.
It really was fun, and I do hope to get to play her for a long time. And we don't know if Audrey comes back, do we? We don't know how and when and if she does
come back.
So
no,
we don't know.
This season looked for some stronger episode-to-episode continuity.
Yeah, it's kind of worked out that way. I mean, sometimes there are multiple troubles or situations that are spun out over those that 2 week, or I mean, double two episode time slot. But it seems like in order to shoot 26 episodes this season, that was the smartest way to get it done, and I think a happy accident. Well, not necessarily an accident, but a nice product of having to do it that way has been what we've gotten to do storytelling-wise. You know, it has been much. There's a lot more character interaction and mm-hmm. and time to really see how these things affect these characters.
Emily points out that fans just might want to catch the show live this season.
Yeah, I think the cool thing that it offers also is it's really, like, it's a big reason for viewers to come back each week and watch what's going to be happening. You know, it links two episodes together, you know, where you used to just kind of, well, you know, there was the underlying mythology, but now you add that the trouble is a cliffhanger as well to the mix. It really, you know, ups the stakes of being like, I want to make sure that I come and watch it live. So the ratings are awesome.
Yep.
Every Thursday night.
So overall, is there a theme to the season?
There is, definitely. I know that the writers, you know, obviously have a sort of a grouping of what these first A and B seasons are. I know, but I don't really want to. I'm sorry. I'm conferring on how much I can say about this right now. But no, I mean, they're definitely have different blocks and theming them. You know, the first one's a definite fight for, personally, you know, from where I'm sitting, you know, a fight to try to get Audrey Parker back. Whether or not that's like the theme for every single person, I don't think so.
Catch Haven on a new night, Thursdays, right after WWE SmackDown on Sci-Fi, and see more at sci-fi.com. Back at work with the latest in pop culture. A couple of familiar properties back in the comic book limelight. For example, Barbarella will be back in a newly translated version of the 60s classic graphic novel. It'll be done by Humanoids and come out later this year. And Patrick Warburton is returning to The Tick. From the animated series to those live-action Fox episodes, he certainly made a name for himself a few years back. Now there's a new run of episodes being planned for Amazon sometime in the near future. And Fox has ordered a pilot of The Greatest American Hero into the hands of Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who brought back 21 Jump Street. That's planned for some time in the pilot season of 2015. After a summertime run on Sci-Fi, The Wil Wheaton Project will not be returning to the network. An unofficial word is the fact that it didn't attract enough of viewers to continue a second season. Will continues his work, though, at geekandsundry.com. A lot of the industry spent the Labor Day weekend buzzing about the future of Comic-Con and whether it would remain in San Diego. The question resurfaced last week when the planned $500 million expansion at the San Diego Convention Center, and then rumors began about a possible move for the convention sometime after 2016. However, a statement from Comic-Con over the past couple of days makes us seem to think that they may try and stay in the same place at least a little longer. They're talking about having more dialogue with more hotels and getting more ballroom space in the area to make the ever-expanding convention viable even beyond 2016. The process has begun for Dark Horse to wind down their association with the Star Wars franchise. There will be some new Star Wars collections published in November, and then beyond that, it's all in the hands of Marvel, who will begin publishing new Star Wars material early in 2015, as well as reissuing some of the Dark Horse material during the year as well. As the year begins to end, Dark Horse is discounting a lot of its material to retailers, so you may want to check with your local comic store if there's a Star Wars collection from the past couple of years that you've been meaning to pick up. The new Netflix series Marco Polo will be available in December in one big 10-episode chunk that you, of course, can download for binge-watching. The series that examines the life of the Italian explorer will become available on Netflix on December the 12th. Speaking of that streaming service, they've also acquired the rights to the NBC series The Blacklist, and for a pretty hefty price as well, just about $2 million an episode, which makes it pretty much the most expensive off-network series picked up by Netflix so far. AMC has canceled the scripted drama Longmire and will not be coming back for a fourth season, despite a lot of fan upset about that. The show had a pretty big decline in ratings for season 3, averaging about 3.5 million viewers an episode. However, for the producers, say don't give up hope. They're shopping it around to other sources and say they expect to make an announcement sometime over the next few weeks about the future of Longmire.
The point. Here's what's cool.
This week's new comics might be a little late, but there's plenty to wait for. In your comic stores with things like, well, let's go to the Dark Horse shelf, for example. For $1, you get a chance to sample the long-running series Ghost, something you may have wanted to try for a while, but, well, never really got around to it. Here's a good chance with a $1-for-$1 issue of Ghost, and again, it's only a buck this week from Dark Horse. In September, that means event month of the new 52 at DC. This time it's Futures End. There are first-issue tie-ins to Action Comics, Aquaman, Batman, Detective, Grayson, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and of course, Swamp Thing as well, and more continue in the weeks to come. Plus, from Vertigo, a new 8-issue series from Peter Milligan. It's kind of described as Kill Bill meets the Wolf of Wall Street. It's called Names, and again, the first issue of that is out this week from Vertigo at DC. There's a new Silent Hill miniseries from IDW called Silent Hill Downpour Anne's Story. The first issue of that's out this week. At Marvel, Stephen King's Dark Tower is back with the Dark Tower drawing of Three Prisoner. First issue of that, as well as a couple of reprints of Stephen's other material, available in your comic store. Talk to your retailer to make sure he can pick those up for you. Second printings this week include Daredevil number 6, also Original Sin number 3, and Original Sin 5.2 from Marvel. And there's also a second printing of Uncanny X-Men number 23, too. all this and more inside your comic store. And now's a good chance to maybe shop around a little bit, find one of the newer ones that may have cropped up over the summer in your area. You can do that with the Comic Book Locator Service at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. You can check out, of course, the website comicmix.com, because we've got a link for you to help you find stores. And there's also another website called findacomicshop.com. That does it for the podcast, but things are starting to heat up in the world of pop culture. A new TV season is just moments away, and New York Comic Con looms in the near future, and we'll cover it all for you right here every couple of days on websites like comicmix.com, michaeldavisworld.com, and getthepointradio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under The Point Radio, and we'll see you back here in a few days. Get the-